Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. Welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360, Your Mortgage and More. Today, we have Andrew Chavez. He's a total stud, and he is our... Ooh, long title, eMortgage. You are our Director of Sales Development.
Yeah.
Yes?
Almost.
Almost there.
National Director of Sales Development.
National Director.
We're announced.
See, it's a lot. National Sales Director of Sales Development. No?
Almost. National Director of Sales Development.
There you go. They're never going to give me a title. That's why. Just call me Branch Manager because I can't even say my own title if I have it. What's Jimmy? National Sales Leader?
Yeah. I mean, you could call me the janitor. I'm still going to be doing the same thing.
National sales janitor
is Jimmy. And you're the national sales janitor assistant. So what is, you know, obviously between you and Jimmy, how is your roles kind of?
I focus more on the development of strategies and developing loan officers. So, you know, my background is a Green Beret. We were essentially called like the school teachers that, you know, teach kids how to blow up bombs, right? So we're taught to teach because, you know, they place us behind enemy lines and we have to teach these, foreign guerrillas how to be professional soldiers and then, you know, how to essentially fight another professional force. So, you know, our base, they teach us how to be teachers. And so, you know, I'm really passionate about teaching. And so that's kind of helped lead to my success.
Pretty cool. And I think this podcast will be great is centered around how military made you so successful, stories around what, you know, characteristics you learned in the military and what you applied in your life, you know, after the military. Because you, like you said, a lot of people have a ton of success, but some people don't because maybe they need the structure. But you, you know, have the discipline and you have the things you learn. But Green Beret, man, tell me a little bit about that. Tell me how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to like, you know, what made me successful outside of the military. You know, not everyone that leaves the military can keep that discipline that maybe was forced on them in the military and translate that into success in the, you know, outside world. And, you know, you see, you know, being a top loan officer, if you want to be successful, if you want to be an elite loan officer or real estate agent, you have to be very disciplined. You have to do the daily activities to really drive engagement of, you know, what you're trying to provide your clients. And so taking that discipline and applying it over, I mean, you look at me, I'm 5'11", 190 pounds. Like, I'm nothing special. Like, I'm not, you know, to be a Green Beret, they usually look like, you know, Gay Baxtel, right? You know, like 6'3".
Like John Cena or something.
Yeah, like John Cena, like Rambo or something. I think he was a Green Beret. So, you know, I was just very average, I'll call it physically, but mentally, like, I was relentless. Like, I was disciplined. I'm not a great runner. Up at VA Success Tract, I ran 6 miles. I jogged six miles with Tyler Hodgson while he walked. And, you know, that's because I haven't ran afterwards. I don't enjoy running. Yeah. I knew, though, that if I wanted to be a Green Beret, one of the, you know, requirements is you have to run 5 miles in 40 minutes. Not very difficult. That's 8-minute miles. But I actually had to train for that portion to make sure that, you know, I could come into that low 30 mark. And that I did through discipline. You know, that's waking up every single day. That's training to be able to be a good runner. And so, you know, I saw that success like, okay, I shouldn't be a Green Beret. Like, I'm not physically, you know, where I need to be. Like, my IQ scores aren't, you know, off the charts like some of these, you know, medics that we have in the Green Berets. But what was my key to success was the discipline. And I would just wake up every day and I'd train and I'd get better until I was able to achieve that goal.
I love it. You're relentless. You're like, I'm the biggest Tom Brady fan there is. Matter of fact, if I'm not wearing a Housing Wire hat, which I love you guys, I'd be wearing a TB12 hat. But that's why I love Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I love that he was never the fastest. You know, you look at his rookie pictures, he looks like my dad, just like a normal dude, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, this guy, best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Because he was relentless and he had that discipline. And a lot of times with people don't understand, especially in the sales world, it takes a lot of discipline.
It does.
To be a loan officer, be a real estate agent that's not on a Zillow lead. And that as well, if you're on a Zillow lead thing, yeah, you have to take discipline there. But like, I'm talking like you're on your island.
Yep.
Go out and find business. Go out and do what you need to do. You know, like for you, you mentioned a lot as a Green Beret. You also learned a lot where you guys just don't go. You're not on this island. You just go.
Yep.
You actually have plans that you have to execute on. Tell me a little bit about that, of what you learned as far as like, you know, I don't know if you can tell a story about your missions or something, but like,
just the execution piece of there was everything was calculated and then executed.
Yeah, anytime you're operating behind enemy lines, you know, we operate in groups of 12, like 12 guys on a team, and you're severely outmanned behind enemy lines. And so you have to be very calculated, and you have to really plan out everything and every step of the mission and every contingency that might happen along the way, right? Because, you know, you might be driving to, you know, do some sort of raid, right? And so your plan might say, okay, we're going to drive to this, you know, this house, and we're going to set up, you know, on these two sides, and then we're going to conduct this raid, right? And that sounds like a great plan. Well, what happens, you're driving to that raid, and you hit an IED. You hit a roadside bomb.
Yeah.
Right? And now you come under ambush. Do you have a contingency for that, right? So you have a plan, but then you also add layers to your plan. So that's something, you know, I took from the military, and I applied that over the mortgage. Okay, hey, I need a plan, but I also need contingencies for that plan. So, you know, we really believe in investing and growing agents' business, right? And so we want to show them, we want to be on open houses. That's our plan. But there's also contingency plans for that. There's other opportunities out there and other ways that we can still achieve mission success.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, and obviously probably things never went according to plan.
No.
How something arises, something happens. And I think that's the same thing, obviously, and, you know, I can't compare your mission to a loan process, but, like, there's stuff that comes out all the time that you have to be ready for. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned in the military culture-wise.
You know, culture-wise...
that with you?
Yeah, so in the Green Berets, we're very mission-focused, right? So, you know, if we have a mission that, hey, we need to create white space, and white space is creating more room between maybe your base and where the enemy front lines are, right? So we have very specific missions, and we're so focused on that mission that a lot of times you push out all that outside noise and all that outside distraction that can pull you back from mission success. So, you know, in the Green Berets, like, we get a mission and we're solely focused on it. We're planning and doing everything that we can for that. And in the mortgage industry, I see sometimes, you know, companies or branches, they're not all focused on the mission, right?
Yeah.
And it's easy to get distracted. And then a couple weeks go by or something like that. And you look up and you're like, man, I don't have anything in my pipeline, you know? And so you just have to get back on track. So I think that played a big role also into my success.
Yeah, I think, you know, being mission focused is huge. I think a lot of times motivation comes and goes.
It does.
And for me lately, motivation's rarely there. It for me, I go through ebbs and flows. At times when I'm incredibly motivated, it can be awesome, right? But, like, I think I work out 6 days a week for as long as I can remember. For as long as I can remember, I probably only have two good workouts a week.
Yep.
But the other four, I'm just pushing through.
Yep.
But I felt good. I got through my hour. You know, I did it.
Yep.
But I didn't get that, you know, that massive pump feeling great. No, I just finished the set, though.
Showed up.
I just showed up. So a lot of times I've noticed the bar so low sometimes in this industry is people that just show up.
Yep.
Maybe it's even awful performance. Like my, you know, I'm only going to bench press 100 pounds, but I'll just do my 10 reps. So sometimes I have days where I'm like, I was literally just doing curling 15s. I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling it. But I'm like, nope, I'm doing it just to do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the next day I have an incredible workout. So it's kind of nice to just, but I feel so much better at the end of the day of like, oh, I actually did it.
Yeah.
And I feel better about myself that it's way better than being, you know, motivated and you're always motivated and fired up. I really wish I could be, you know, like those guys, but it feels so good that like I hated that and I didn't feel good. I didn't negotiate myself and I actually did it anyway. That's another piece that I love about the mission phase. But the other piece about, you know, the mission that you talk about that I really like is you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
To complete the mission. And when you have that mindset on your journey, which we're working on, which was really cool. We're learning about, you know, a journey from starting from, you know, you have a goal and let's finish it out. But when you're trying to achieve something with a mission-focused plan of a certain units you're going to get or whether it's going to be some sort of goal you're going to get, it's cool here that you help develop that and teach that with that mindset. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it. Like, I like to say, like, motivation, like, gets you going. Discipline keeps you going, right?
So, I like that.
And you see it every first of the year. A ton of signups at the gym, right? Yeah, everyone's motivated, right?
Gym's packed for the first 2 weeks.
Packed, right? But you said it. And I don't know a single person that is motivated 50% of the time, I'll say, right? Like, it's easy to get motivated in moments, right, to get started. But that's where you have to have the discipline that takes over and say, you know what? I'm not motivated today, but I'm working towards a goal. And so I already made that commitment to myself. And I know that if I'm disciplined, I'm going to achieve those results that I want, you know? And you see that in the gym. By February, maybe half the people are gone. You know, by March, another quarter are gone. And then at the end of the year, there's the 10% that are disciplined that stayed. And they're like, hey, I'm in shape. You know, I didn't maybe work out hard every day, but I showed up every day. I was just
showing up, I think. And then I've noticed, too, that life sometimes really rewards you just for showing up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, going to the gym every single day, but your workouts aren't that great, but you go every single day and you're very disciplined in your eating, you're going to see a huge results from just doing that. Also, I've noticed in just the business of sales, like if you make your bare minimum calls and you're trying a little harder than the other guy, things happen to get better. Outside perspective, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I think you got so much perspective from the military that applying that to anything you do, tell me a little bit how that helps you become, you know, a great leader. And
yeah, so I think that, you know, all of us have this outside experience, right? Like, you know, some people came from car sales, some people, you know, maybe were nurses before. And so they have these experiences and they have these tools in their tool bag, but a lot of times they get into a new industry and they just throw all those away and they say, hey, I have to start over. I have to learn how this has always been done because that's the way it's always been done. And so when I got into the mortgage industry, I was looking across, I said, this looks broken. You know, this is not a good system of how to run something. You know, it's very transactional. You know, the biggest lenders, you know, in the U.S., Rocket Mortgage, Veterans United, they don't curate relationships. It's transactional, right? They're heavy on the marketing. So when I looked at, you know, how can I grow at a small level, I said, I need relationships. Well, what we did in the Green Berets, we built relationships behind enemy lines. We established networks. And so I took that same plan and I said, well, why can't I do that in the mortgage industry? Because, you know, what I realize is when you forge strong partnerships with your agents and you work together as a team, that's a relationship. That's a true friendship. And you guys grow together. And it's much easier to grow because you refine your processes. You want to see each other win.
It's funner, too.
It's funner, right? They're your friend. You have a relationship. You don't have to put them in a CRM and say, oh, I need to call them every single week. It's your friend.
And and that's a dream of, you know, a lot of hard work to get that point. But I'm very fortunate in my career that I work with who I want to.
Yeah.
And you got to get to the point where you're shoving a lot of crap for a lot of years, but it's a blessing to be able to work with people that, you know, I always say, find your tribe, find the people you mesh with well. And when you mesh with well with someone, try your best to keep and hold on to that person and always be the one that's providing value and like really, you know, hone in on that friendship, because those are ones that a lot of people can take advantage of at times. And
absolutely.
Like when I say take advantage of, like, oh, we're now really good friends, I'm not going to do a good enough job on this transaction. Maybe I'll call him later. He's my homie. Like, don't do that.
No.
Like, keep the standard there, but it's fun when you're with your tribe and you guys have a goal to, like, just crush it together.
Yeah. Well, and my advice to even new loan officers is be picky. Like, if you are doing your activities, if you're actually trying to grow agents' business, you can be picky because there's so few lenders out there that are actually doing the necessary steps to grow their agent business. When I looked at the business, I said, if I can grow a real estate agent's business, my business is going to grow. And there wasn't LOs out there, loan officers out there that were all in on growing their business or growing the agent's business. They said, okay, well, I need the leads. I need the loans, which really in the current real estate market, you know, everybody wants a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, white picket fence. Nobody wants the debt.
No.
So barrier to entry, like lowering the bar for, you know, a first time home buyer, is super scary, you know, to reach out to a lender. Oh, I need to pull your credit. I need all this income. Of course, they should go to the real estate agent first. You know, it's hey, I want the house. And so, you know, I really identified if I just focus on how I can best help them grow, I'm going to grow. And so I took that approach and it worked out very, very good for me.
Yeah. So you went from the military. How long were you at Green Beret?
So I was a Green Beret. I was in the special operations about 7 years. So I was on a team for about 5 years.
So you were there for a while. And then how long was it from there to transition into, how do you get into the lending world?
Yeah. So that's an interesting story. So I was in the Green Berets until about 2018. And I knew I didn't want to do 20 years. Like, you know, I'd already done 200, halo jumps, which are like high altitude, low opening. I was a free fall jump master. That's a lot of jumps, and that's a lot of stress to put on your body. People think, oh, you're jumping out of an airplane, you're landing all nice and soft. And I say, yeah, but have you ever tried landing with, you know, 120 pounds between your legs in a backpack under night vision goggles on the side of a mountain or right next to the side of the mountain at night? That's not soft landings. You are crashing into the ground. Yeah, you're trying to stall the get it slowed down. But, you know, when you only have 50, 100 jumps, like in the civilian skydiving world, that's nothing. Right. In the military, that is a lot. So you do get a lot of experience, but it's just something.
So you ever have it under high pressure, people shooting at you when you're jumping out?
No. Unfortunately, I didn't get any combat jumps.
Still middle of the night.
Middle of the night, a lot of training stuff. And so I looked at it and said, you know, I don't want to do 20 years because I see the guys, they're in a wheelchair. You know, I was young, I was single. I knew I wanted a family. I knew I wanted to, like, run around, play sports with my boys. And so, you know, I made the decision. I was like, you know, I think I've accomplished everything I wanted. I had done 2 combat deployments to Afghanistan. I had done a counter-narcotic mission to Colombia. And so I had kind of got to experience the full mission set of Special Forces. And so I said, you know what? It's time to move on. And so I went into federal contracting for a few years, worked in federal contracting. And then 2020, I decided that I had saved enough money that I wanted to go all in on mortgage. So opened up my own broker shop in fall. Well, it was early 2020 when I was crafting the plan, but I started originating fall of 2020. 2021 was my first full year. Closed just over 250 units, $65 million in Missouri. Yeah, like looking back.
So how did you say, I'm going to do mortgages? Did you have a friend in the industry? Did you just found an industry that you thought I could apply this to and crush it? Like how did mortgages pop in your
head? Yeah, so I owned a small tax and accounting firm at the time. Like, you know, that was the first business I started. I started it when I was in the military in 2014.
Okay.
It was small. I mean, we had a book of maybe about 800 clients in there. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, but it's tax returns. Yeah, 800 clients on the tax return side is pretty easy. We were the cheapest in town. And I had a guy working for me, and he called me one day. He's like, hey, Andrew, everybody's calling us for tax returns to do their refinances and everything. And he's like, and I just looked up how much lenders make on these deals. He's like, they make like $2,000 a deal.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're making like $100 a tax return. We should just do mortgages. And so I said, okay, great. Yeah, contact the Department of Finance and get a company set up and let's do it. And so he went, he reached out, I think, to UWM and they have a checklist and they're like, hey, follow these steps, set up a broker company. Had no idea what we were doing. Like, you know, looking back on it, Jesus took the wheel and I'm so blessed because it gave me a chance to learn the industry without really any guardrails. Like I had an account executive. It was like her first day on the job. Like, I didn't know you should run AUS. I didn't know
Sometimes it's bliss because you didn't get in front of your, a lot of times, especially with experienced professionals, they just, their biggest enemy is their self.
Yep.
They look in the mirror and that's their biggest enemy. It's like, stop. Just go out and do it. Just don't think.
Well, I tell the story, ignorance is bliss, is, you know, my first day pretty much with a license, I cold called a local builder that was doing 150 units, got a lunch sit down with him. And I pitched him my plan of sitting in his model homes to pre-approve his clients right there on the spot to get him under contract. And he gave me a shot. And within 3 months, I was his preferred lender. And we were doing the majority of his business. Yeah. And this was before I even had 6 months with a license. But the ignorance was bliss. I didn't know that, like, oh, you shouldn't call that big builder. Like, they're going to, you know, say no or they're not.
That's typical LO. That's not true. You can do that. You can go out and call.
It's easy to call someone when you're offering something of value.
Yes.
So my big, you know, one of my mindset things is always give before you receive. And so my giving to that builder was, I will go be a free employee for you.
In your office. Yeah.
And most LOs don't look at it like that. So
you got to give. And sometimes you got to give a lot too before. You know, I've had relationships where it was 5 or 6 years before I had a shot.
Yep.
But I'm consistently giving, consistently always available.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just how the game works sometimes. So you learn how to play really intricate chess, being in the military.
Yeah.
And then you came out and played chess immediately. So how many units again you got in your first year?
So it was just, I think it was 256 units was my first year.
Just so you know, listening, loan officers doing 256 units is absurd. And usually it's 5 or 6 or 10 years in that they do that. So
it was also 2021.
Still amazing. Like, that's still incredible because you didn't have a book of clients.
No, I didn't.
Because in 2021, I had 1,000 clients that I could be calling and helping.
Yep.
It's a lot different compared to looking for, you know, clients there. So don't use that. You're the exception to the 2021 money in the real estate.
My 2022 and 2023 production proved I wasn't a false prophet, as some people like to say.
Yeah. a lot of false prophets during that time. My favorite is when they're like, oh man, 21, I did this much in 2021. I was like, come on, everyone in the neighborhood could refinance. Chill out. Like, good for you that you were the only mortgage guy in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And with real estate agents, it's like, yeah, you could put up a listing and they're going to get 10 offers.
10 offers.
Easy. So 2022, 2023, you absolutely crush it. So now you're in development. You're helping.
Yep.
What does that entail? Tell us a little bit about your role, what you're doing.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm very passionate about one of my kind of sales initiatives, you know, of giving back to agents. And so, you know, I talked to Anthony Costa a lot about it. You know, he looked at the data on it and said, wow, how are you closing this many loans per loan officer with an average experience under 3 years? Which is unheard of. But I didn't know. Ignorance is bliss. Again, I'm just like, oh, every mortgage company is doing this. Like, yeah. This is how it's done because you don't know. And I wasn't super involved in the mortgage industry, which I think was a good thing, too, because I was just like, oh, yeah, it's normal to close 25 to 30 loans.
Nope.
Normal to close two. Yeah, it's normal to close two. So yeah, I think that, you know, having some of that bliss just really, really helped me along.
So that's cool. So you're doing a lot of projects now to help, you know, build this out throughout U Mortgage. So this is good if you're a high-level executive listening to this podcast as well. Just I think for you, the main theme here is applying all the experiences you've had just into the business world. So
I think we overcomplicate it as leaders sometimes. It's like if you can just really train and focus on being brilliant in the basics, like if you want to reach scale, right, you need to have a simple, repeatable process that the, you know, someone with no job experience, high school degree can walk in and find success. And if you simplify that down, and that's what I did with new loan officers, you simplify the process down and say, here's your three steps that you need to take. And then you train them on that, it's much easier for them to see it. So I'm super passionate about, you know, developing loan officers. And so I'm just really excited to be.
Yeah, I love the approach. As you said, simple, repeatable process.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about an example of why.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned it. Motivation, you burn out, you know, 1 month, maybe a week, maybe a day. So I don't like to do, I don't like to put things on people's plates that I don't think they can sustain for a long time. So anytime I'm looking at, okay, if I'm going to do open houses, for example, would it be awesome if I went and got balloons and a charcuterie board and all this other fancy stuff and I took that to an open house? That's awesome. But to me, that's not a simple, repeatable process. And that's not actually adding as much value to that agent. Whereas if you have, you know, your open house kit, you have your drinks, you have your pre-made snacks, you have your marketing materials that you can produce, that's a simple, repeatable process that is still adding so much value. So some people like the big, flashy, you know, everything, but that's not something that you can do consistently over and over. And, you know, being a big originator is like, it takes a lot of small activities to equal big results.
Yes.
And so that's why I try to condense everything down, make it simple, repeatable, because at the end of the day, we all trade time for money. And if like we can show up and to work and we know what to expect and it's simple, repeatable, and you see the good results after it, it's much easier to complete the task.
Perfect example. I love that. I think if people just made it more simple, they would accomplish so much more.
100%.
Seriously, just like stop. Like if you want to work out, like cool, three sets, five reps. That's it. Really? Yep.
That's it.
Do it every day. Go.
You'd be in shape.
Go. You know, or I'm running 2 miles. You know, I made a goal of like, I'm going to try to do 10,000 steps.
Oh, wow.
And that was so hard and I couldn't do it. It was like roughly, I think it was like a little under 5 miles walking or something.
Oh.
On the treadmill every day.
Every day.
Every day.
That's a big
commitment. I couldn't do it. It wasn't repeatable, but I could do half of that.
Yeah.
And the half I can do every day.
Absolutely.
Because I can just easily do it. The other one I really have to push. Like I was getting close. I was getting like 7,500 steps.
Yeah.
I just wasn't reaching my goal. And so I was like, well, you're killing 5,000 steps.
Yep.
Why don't you just focus on 5,000? And now I can just do the 5,000. And I don't think about the steps.
Yep.
I think about the exact mileage because then I could just do it. And
yeah.
And days what's interesting is the days that I'm super motivated, I don't go and do more because I just don't want to get burnt out. I'm just like, I did it. I feel great today though, instead of plowing through this.
But that just goes to show, because, you know, just looking at you, you're in better shape than the average person, right? And so
this is the thing though. I don't like people will ask, do you work out 2 hours? No, I work out probably 45 minutes.
Yep. Same.
Really lame workouts. They're not once a week. They're killer. Like I just feel awesome and I'm crushing it. But really a lot of times it is. They are like, you'd watch me. I, you know, if like I showed my workouts every day, I'd have zero followers. They'd be like, your workouts are the worst. Like, I'm just getting through the day, man. I'm just doing the work.
Yeah,
so.
Showing up. Well, like I put a gym in my house because I'm a 45 minute. I wanted something simple. I could roll out of bed. I could drink my pre-workout and I could just get there because I know that that's what 99% of the population is not doing. And so that's why it's like, I think people think, like you said, oh, I need this 5,000 steps. I need to make 100 cold calls to be successful. But that's not attainable.
No.
That's not a simple, repeatable process. Whereas if you break it down to like, oh, well, maybe I'll just do 5 calls every day for this week. If you just did that, that's where you see the people that are successful.
That's true. This is awesome. I wish I could talk. Anything else you want to talk about with the military?
No. You know, I would just say, you know, the last thing I'll leave you with is, you know, I talked a little bit about me being average physically, being average IQ, and just using being relentless. So the last story I like to tell is, you know, when I went to selection to become a Green Beret, you know, it was a 3-week process. I showed up with about 430 guys there, and only 47 of us graduated from that class. And I was probably middle of the pack athletically with the graduated people. But all of the people that passed that selection, all relentless. And so it was cool to see, like, out of the group of 430, I was probably bottom 10-15% athletically, still enough to, you know, meet all the standards. But when we reached to the end, it was the discipline and the relentless that could put up with the suffering for that 3 weeks that made it through. So, you know, I would just say, like, if you're sitting there and thinking, I'm not smart enough to do this, I'm not a good speaker, I'm not good looking or whatever, that's not the key to success. The key to success is showing up every day and being relentless.
I love that. Mic drop. All right. Thanks, Andrew. It was a great episode.